Good evening, everyone, and welcome to evening prayer. Let's take a moment to lay aside the cares of our day and focus on this time of prayer and reflection. In your own words, invite the Holy Spirit to meet with us this evening. Itifano, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our help is in the name of the eternal God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Eternal Spirit, flow through our being and open our lips, that our mouths may proclaim your praise. Let us worship the God who loves us. Amen. The psalm I've chosen for this evening is Psalm 111. Let's read the psalm together. Praise the Lord. I extol the Lord with all of my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered on by all who delight in them. Gracious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The reading for this evening is from the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 1 through 9. It's entitled, Gifts for Building the Temple. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold and silver, bronze, iron and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving of all my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. The background to this passage in Chronicles was that David was called by God to prepare for the building of the temple. A temple that the chronicler describes as a building that is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. This structure would be something that is spectacular, something that inspires awe, something set apart for God, a holy structure for a holy God. For as our psalmist reminds us, God is great, gracious and majestic, righteous, wondrous, gracious and compassionate, faithful and upright. In short, he is holy. But David himself could not build this temple, for he had shed too much blood and too many battles. Yet God did guide David as king and leader of his people in the exact plans for this amazing structure. Chapter 28 tells us that it was the Holy Spirit who put the plans into David's mind, but the actual work was entrusted to his son Solomon. God had called Solomon to serve as the leader of the people of Israel after David, a leader who would serve God with a wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. God calls us and all leaders, as he did Solomon, to a holiness that goes beyond actions, to our thoughts and the motives of our hearts. God tests the hearts of leaders, and God looks for integrity. David was a man of integrity of heart. This is a pretty good definition, I think, of holiness. It's been said that everyone has three lives: a public life, a private life, and a secret life. Holiness is about living an integrated life rather than a disintegrated one. Holiness is linked to wholeness, where there is no difference between what we profess and what we practice in every aspect of our lives. Integrity is a key aspect of good leadership. When God asked David to prepare for the building of the temple, it would require huge amounts of money and resources. As a leader with integrity, he led first, and other leaders followed. They gave of their own resources sacrificially, willingly, wholeheartedly, and with joy. This evening, we're going to pray for our leaders. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for who you are. As the psalmist reminds us, you are great, glorious and majestic, righteous, wondrous, gracious and compassionate, faithful and upright. You are holy. Lord, we thank you for our government, for men and women who lead and serve our country. Please provide our leaders in every area of society with reminders each day of why they decided to dedicate their lives to serving, and use that to encourage them. Provide them with the knowledge needed to approach each situation with integrity. Help them to know you and see your presence in the work that they do. And Lord, give them the stamina to approach each day and to find a balance between work and life. Lord, we're so grateful to be living in a democracy where many play a part in making sure the needs of people are met and heard. As our leaders work together to find solutions to difficult problems and hold each other accountable, we ask that you guide them to speak respectfully and with humility to one another. Help them to show Christ-like love to those they interact with, and to be advocates to benefit others. Lord, thank you for the leaders who care about issues impacting the most vulnerable. We ask that you help all of our leaders to care for people in need. God, please be with our government as they weigh the pros and cons of every decision they face. Give them wisdom on how to best represent everyone. We ask that you'd help us as your people today. While we may hold different perspectives, we don't want to be divided. Help us to be the bold, compassionate voice in our world that you have called us to be. A voice that reflects your heart for all people to come into a living relationship with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now we come to the end of our prayer time. We pray for all those we love, for our church family and for others, using the words that Jesus gave us. Please join in using whatever version you know. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It's been good to be together with you this evening for this time of prayer. Take care and God bless. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow night. Ka kite anō.